for years and years on Thursdays, there are very few people who can ever see me because I am away on what I call my divine appointment with God. I don't recall how many years ago I started one day a week getting away from the pressures of the office and wherever I was so that I could be with God to put together my sermons and get everything ready for Sunday. And in the last 4 or 5 years, I've been going to different places, the cabins which have been made available to me to prepare my 3 to 5 sermons that I have every Sunday. And last Thursday, when I was going up to the Indians, I passed through the Hunter Liggett Military Reservation. And as I continued up meandering on the road, I approached a roadblock in the form of a super long horse, sawhorse. And as it got closer to me, I realized it was trying to tell me something. Well, there was no sign on it. There were no people around it. There was just this super long sawhorse in the middle of the road. And so I got thinking in my mind as I approached it, what is it trying to tell me? And I decided that it was trying to tell me one of two things. Either that the road had freshly been surfaced and maybe I should not drive on it. This didn't seem very logical because I could tell it had traffic on it and it certainly wouldn't hurt the vehicle that I was driving, so I decided that was no reason to stop. The second reason, there might have been a fire down the way and this would keep visitors away, and that was no reason for me to stop because I had a place to go, a cabin, a destination. So I decided that the roadblock was not for me. I would just continue. So when I got to the roadblock, I started driving around it. I got halfway around it when I heard this shout from this serviceman who came running from me, incidentally from behind a tree. He was, I thought, hiding back up in there. He ran to me and he said, "Stop, stop. You are about to enter live firing area. Stop." Well, you can rest assured I stopped. And then he said, "You'll have to back up and wait. It may be 10 or 15 minutes before you get a clearing to go through." So I backed the pickup back, stopped under the shade tree, and started opening the mail that I just got at the post office. And then it suddenly dawned on me what was happening. Here we have a roadblock telling me of danger, which I tried to run. We have a man who was supposed to have been probably more alert than he was to stop the traffic. You know, a signalman, as if it were, telling me not to go forward because of danger. And how God has done that for his people. He has placed the roadblock in our way. And the roadblock contains a lot of information telling us that in certain areas there is danger ahead, and the roadblock is there. Because we're not familiar with the Bible or because we don't really want to heed its message, we try to steer our life around that roadblock. And we successfully do that. But God also has placed in the church pastors who are messengers who tell the people not only what the roadblock is trying to say silently, but telling people, "Stop, stop, there's danger ahead. There's danger." Now, I just about went into a dangerous area because I did not heed the warning. The man came and explained to me that the dangerous area was ahead and I should indeed stop. Now, there is a dangerous area in regard to the one word astrology. Not astronomy, the study of the heavenly bodies, but astrology. And the Bible is a roadblock. And this morning, I feel very keenly led to be the messenger to tell you what the roadblock is saying in the area of astrology. Do the stars shape our destiny? Are there unseen forces, consciously or unconsciously, that are working in our mind related to the position of planets and their orbits? And astrologers say, yes, yes, yes. And they're prepared to show you how their ancient art works, although most of them say, "I don't really understand the mechanics of it." We can turn to some of the daily newspapers and we can read our horoscopes. And I guess every one of us, at one time or another, have looked at the horoscope. And we can read the horoscope and it'll say this or that's going to happen to us tomorrow or this day or in the future. Of course, a professional astrologer say you just can't read the horoscope. You've got to have data put into their hands and then they will position everything as it should be, and they will look into the 12 houses, and they will work things out just for you so you will know what's going to happen for the best results. Now, the Bible takes astrology serious. The Bible takes astrology serious, but never as a part of God's plan. Never as a part of God's plan. This ancient art is not to be dismissed lightly as nonsense, as primitive superstition, or totally unscientific. Astrology does work after a fashion, and there's some truth to it. However, there are spiritual pitfalls to astrology. We've had people who've come to the church office within the past 6 months, several I'm thinking of now, and one recently within weeks, asking about how the Christian relates to astrology. Does it work? What are the discrepancies? What are the serious failures, if there are any? Are there spiritual pitfalls for the Christian? February 3, 1962, five major planets were in conjunction, and astrologers issued this dire warning that the Earth is going to suffer a catastrophe. There's going to be severe floods, there are going to be earthquakes, mountains are going to change positions. It's going to be a very bad time for people. And the Hindu priest made a killing on this by collecting money for prayers for the safety of the Indians. Well, it didn't happen. So they said, you see what the prayers and the money did? Had it happened, they would have said, look how worse it would have been if you hadn't have given and if you hadn't have prayed. So this one incident, the February 3, 1962, is an error. There were two astrologers who predicted that Jacqueline Kennedy would never remarry. We know that she did. Adolf Hitler lost out rather sadly in his battle for his plans. And he had five full-time astrologers. When Apollo 8 made its orbit around the moon, many astrologers said that the astronauts would suffer great physical personality changes, and it was going to be a catastrophe for them, but we know indeed nothing happened to them. But these specific cases of failure are just not enough to be convincing. To be fair, we must admit that astrology deals with trends. It deals with influences, it deals with tides and tendencies. But one interesting thing we can say, the offset of this message, that if you read the astrology charts, there is a great chance that what you read will come true. And the reason for that, the Bible has said, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Our mind is a gigantic computer. It's far more fabulous and more complex and has more memory banks than any memory bank computer that man has made. And the Bible says that as we put into our mind and feed into our mind material, then we're going to act upon that. And so it's true often that if you read your horoscope, the things will come true. Why? Because we are programming in our mind to come true. We're looking for it to come true. And many of them will come true. However, on the other hand, if you live a week and then get a newspaper that's 5 days old and read your horoscope, you will see in retrospect that very little, if any, has come true. So what I'm saying is that if you consult the star charts through the astrology markings in the daily newspapers, there is a chance that much will come true. But it's not because of astrology. It is because you yourself have willed that to be true. We are like a computer. And one reason why astrology has such a bad hang-up is that it can seduce, it can mislead, and it can even imprison the mind. Now, the method and the devices of astrology belong to what the Bible calls the fallen world system, or the establishment under the control, the organized control of Satan, the prince of the power of the air and the host of his demonic spirits and invisible spiritual agencies aimed today to trick, to deceive, to warp, and to destroy man. And we are God's most special creation. Been around a long time. For thousands and thousands of years, BC, people were dabbling in astrology. It was practiced in India. In Isaiah 47, we read how the people in Babylon were hung up with astrology. It was in Rome and Greece. And it was a hang-up for God's people. We read in 2 Kings chapter 23. So it's not new. It's been around. And it was a hang-up for God's people. But when the message of Jesus Christ came, people were brought out of their prison. And they were made to see the light. And your bulletin cover, he's brought us out of darkness. When the message of Jesus came to the Ephesians in Greece in the first century, the counterfeit system of astrology was openly exposed to, and its power was shattered. Turn with me, if you will, to Acts 19. And if you're using the Pew Bibles, page 187 in the New Testament. 187 in the New Testament. And this talks about what happened in Ephesus. This counterfeit system of astrology was exposed. Acts 19, verse 17, page 187 in the Pew Bibles. All the Jews and the Gentiles who lived in Ephesus heard about this. They were all filled with fear, and the name of the Lord Jesus was given greater honor. Many of the believers came publicly admitting and revealing what they had done. Many of those who had practiced magic brought their books together and burned them in public. They added up the price of the books, and the total came to 50,000 silver coins. In this powerful way, the word of the Lord kept spreading and growing stronger. And as the word of God spread and grew stronger, then this deceptive system of astrology was openly exposed, and people realized what it was all about. In Luke's writing, when he talks to his people in chapter 12, verse 29, he talks about not having a doubtful mind. This doubtful mind word comes from the word meteorized, that is to raise in midair, to be suspended, or to be tossed back and forth. And he says, don't be of a doubtful mind. And here, Dr. Luke, in his book, is trying to rebuke the concerns of the heathen who were being guided by the meteors and the planets, and all the magic and the witchcraft was being condemned by the scripture. In the Bible, 12 forbidden heathen practices are mentioned, and one is astrology or stargazing. And this is carried on in conjunction with demons, and they're called familiar spirits. And all who forsake God and who go to these familiar spirits were to be destroyed. In the time of Moses, God warned his special people about astrology. In the Old Testament, if you'll turn to page 195, and I'll read Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 19. This way you can see it in the Pew Bibles which you hold and follow the same wording from this today's English version. Page 195, Deuteronomy 4, 19. Do not be tempted to worship and serve what you see in the sky, the sun, the moon, and the stars. The Lord your God has given these to all other peoples for them to worship. But you are the people that he rescued from Egypt and the burning furnace. He is saying, be on your guard when you look into the heavens and you see the sun, the moon, and the stars, and all the hosts of heaven, that you don't get mixed up in serving them. Don't be drawn away or intrigued into worshiping them as having some kind of special power. So in the times of Moses, God warned his special people. He also warned his people about the intrusion of astrology into the national spiritual life, which indeed is getting such a foothold in America today. God warned his people. They were special. So he warns his people today, and he puts up the roadblock. And in Deuteronomy 17, verse 2 through 7. You can follow with me, page 209. Deuteronomy 17, verse 2 following. Suppose you hear them in one of your towns, some man or woman has sinned against the Lord and broken his covenant. sinned against the Lord now by worshiping and serving other gods or the sun or the moon or the stars, contrary to the Lord's command. And he goes on to say that the report should be investigated. What are you saying? If there is anybody among you who has broken his agreement in fidelity to me by turning away, serving phony gods like the sun, the stars, the moon, which I have forbidden, if you find out about it, you make sure it's true. It's an offense that it's worthy even of death. This type of evil, the scripture says, should be entirely separated from you. It is an evil that we Christians should be separated from today. Now, drawing up a horoscope is based upon the 12 signs of the zodiac. It comes from 12 houses, and the predictions are made according to this. The reason I bring this out is that there is a structured order for astrology. Now, the order is important. It's a clue to the heart of astrology, because the word that's used in Colossians and in Galatians is an interesting Greek word which means the total arrangement of things, the ordered arrangement of things. Like the letters in an alphabet, like the soldiers in a platoon, like the arrangement of dominoes, or the elements in the horoscope, the ordered arrangement of things. And the word refers to the basic elements such as fire, earth, air, water, that which makes up our earth. The other Greek word is cosmos, and it's very important at this point to see that the Bible uses this word to designate the world order system. It is the establishment of the world. Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world. It's not of this cosmos." Paul used it by saying, "The world, that is the cosmos, by wisdom knew not God." Satan is called the prince of this world, the cosmos. Jesus isn't the prince of the world. Satan is the prince of the world, of the cosmos. And it is out of this cosmos that astrological signs are determined. And so to follow astrology or to follow any other part of the cosmos system is to lose individuality and to be a conformist to the establishment, to lose the freedom that Jesus died to give you. It is making you a slave to it when Jesus has paid the price on Calvary to make you free. This is the real life. It's the abundant life in John 10:10. Revelation 17, Revelation 18 talk about this phony world system which is going to be destroyed at some time. And this is why the Apostle Paul says that we are to know Jesus and then know God and to have a spiritual relationship and constant fellowship with him in whom are hidden all the treasures of real wisdom and knowledge. This is why to get hung up in astrology is to jeopardize your relationship with God. It jeopardizes your relationship. James said to the half-hearted Christians, you spiritual adulterers. Don't you know that friendship with the world system, the cosmos, is being hostile to God? Whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself God's enemy. And then John, our first century love messenger, said, don't love the establishment or the things in this world system. If anybody gets hung up on the world, the Father's love does not abide in him. So God has paid the ransom price in Jesus' sacrifice to set us free. And it's extremely important to pay attention to God's instructions for us. We're to know Jesus. And anyone who trusts in Jesus to be his liberator is no longer governed by astrological laws. The astrological laws are related to our natural man. And we've been given a new man. And the new man is because we've been grafted into Jesus. If we're joined to Jesus, we've got a spiritual nature. We put aside the old man. And you don't even have astrological signs. Jesus wasn't a Capricorn, born December 25, 4 B.C., because the scripture says he was before the world ever was made. So he doesn't even have an astrological sign. And if we have been experiencing the new birth, and we've been given a new spiritual nature, we don't either. We don't either have an astrological sign. Jesus has died to set us free from the things, and why get tangled in them again? In the book of Daniel, there's an interesting story which we won't take time to relate. It was about a time when the astrologers came in conflict with God. But just to summarize the story, the king had a dream. He went to his astrologers and he said, "Men, I want you to tell me the interpretation of the dream." They said, "King, you tell me the dream, we'll tell you the interpretation." And the king said, "Well, that's not the way it is. You tell me the dream and you tell me the interpretation. Then I'll know that you're not phony." The astrologers probably thought to themselves, "You know, we can read the stars in the sky, but we can't read the stars in your head. You've got to tell us what the dream is, and then we will tell you the interpretation." They were to be put to death for not being able to do it, but Dan comes as a teenager and says, "Give me time. Don't put these men to death." And he returns, he seeks the mind of God, and he asks that God would deliver to him the dream and the interpretation. And he does this. He returns to the king and he says, "King, I've got the dream. This is what the dream was." Point by point, he brings this out. The king is there dumbfounded. "Yes, this is true. And the interpretation is thus, 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 and thus." But Dan says, "Now, King, I did not get this by ESP. I didn't get this through any other way of reading the stars or what have you. I got this not from my own IQ, but there is a God in heaven who reveals secrets and who let me know where your head's at. And this is the dream and this is the interpretation." And astrology got the axe and God got the praise and glory. And the point of the story is this for you today, that if you are plugged into God's wisdom, you don't need to waste time making star charts to find out the secrets of the universe, because all the secrets in the universe are in Jesus. And the Bible says that. The wisdom, all the secrets are in Jesus. Now, astrology might be interesting, but why settle for less than the best? Astrology, even in Babylon times, couldn't hold a candle to God's wisdom, and it still can't. And if you're a Christian, you have access to the knowledge which transcends the stars. You have access to the knowledge of God through Christ Jesus. Now, before you were a Christian, you didn't know God personally. You were in bondage to the invisible things, that is, the stars, superstition, laws, etc., which by nature really aren't God's at all. But now that you have been liberated by Jesus, and you've been plugged into God's wisdom, how could we get hung up on the systematized knowledge of the establishment of the thinking of horoscopes, etc.? Once again, when you don't have to be a slave to this anymore, turn to Galatians 4, 8, and 11. It's page 254 in the New Testament. Page 254. Galatians 4, 8 through 11. Page 254 in the New Testament, Galatians 4, 8 through 11. "In the past, you did not know God, and so you were slaves of beings who are not gods. But now that you know God, or I should say now that God knows you, how is it that you want to turn back to those weak and pitiful ruling spirits? Why do you want to become their slaves all over again?" You pay certain attention, special attention to certain days, months, seasons, years. "I'm worried about you. Can it be that all my work for you has been for nothing?" He's saying, don't get involved again in what you were involved in after you were once liberated. So in conclusion, if you want to have supernatural wisdom about life and about yourself, you can have it by inviting Jesus into your heart, sharing his mind, sharing his thoughts. 1 Corinthians 1:16 says that. You don't have to chart your zodiac sign to find out all about yourself, because God's got something far more exciting than that for you. And it won't tie you down to any astrological laws or systemized fortune telling. He'll liberate you and he'll expand your mind with His Spirit so that you can understand what it's really all about. I suppose Galatians 5:1 is my text. In this freedom, Jesus has made us completely liberated. Therefore, stand strong in your freedom and don't let anything trap you into being its slave ever again. Praise God, we've been liberated. We don't have to consult the stars to find out about ourselves. Because being in Jesus, you got a new self that's not related to the astrological laws. It's related to God's law. And praise God, God's got something for each one of you that's so very special that even the star charts couldn't even reveal. It has been revealed in Jesus. Praise God for that. Let's stand and pray, may we? Father, thank you for the roadblock which you've given us in the Bible, and thank you for people who have shown us the way in days gone past, and for those that'll come in the future. Thank you for warning us of possible dangers in our future. Dangers in which if we drive in blindly with our life, we might find ourselves in trouble, even harm. Thank you that there was a messenger named John the Baptist who prepared the way for Jesus. And thank you for sending Jesus, who made it clear about what life was all about and where our devotion is supposed to be, showing us what love really is and the relationship that we can have with Jesus. Father, we stand in your presence right now. We thank you for loving us individually. And we thank you for what you've got in store for each one of us who would wait patiently and rest in the Lord for the desires of our heart, and even things that are greater than the desires of which we can even fathom. We're thankful that you're in the future already, waiting for us to get there. So as we stand in your presence, we ask that you bless us, as first of all, we align ourselves with you. We confess our sins that keep us out of alignment. And we praise your name that they are forgiven and forgotten. And that now we have opportunity, just as we are, to make things right with you, with one another, with ourselves. So as we sing this concluding hymn, may your Spirit speak to our soul strongly, that we would make that decision you have us to make. In Jesus' name, amen. As we sing this concluding hymn, Just As I Am, number 198, it's your opportunity to do that right now. Just as you are, to accept Jesus as your personal Savior. Just as you are right now, to unite with the church by transfer of letter or just by the simple statement, I'm a Christian. Just as you are, maybe to come down to the front for prayer. You know, it's not as we change or acquire or change something.